Actually, I'm going to pray. I'm not going to be able to talk very much otherwise. So, Father, we thank you for today. And we thank you for your presence here and your goodness and your joy that you fill us with. Help us to hear your words this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been following this theme of what does well-being look like in the kingdom of God. And we've kind of been working under the assumption over the last, you know, month or so that, you know, that as we look at well-being and the way we live as people of the kingdom, that we've got something to work with, that we're working with God in the, in his transformation of us, in the, you know, if you, the theological word would be sanctification, and the way he's making us more like Jesus. And we talked a couple of weeks ago about the, you know, the spiritual battle and how we face that. But what do we do when it feels like we've got nothing? What do we do when it's everything's impossible and there is, it feels like there is no way for us to step forward? What do we do in that situation? I'm glad you asked. Let's have a look at Ezekiel chapter 37, a passage I'm sure you know well, and we're going to have a bit of a look at that. So Ezekiel 37 from verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and I will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you. And you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. So, this is a really interesting and amazing passage. You know, Ezekiel is one of those prophets that's really looking forward to this new covenant age. And this passage is really like a bit of a case study in the word for spirit. It's the apparently you've got to clear your throat at the end of this word. It's the word ruach. And it's the word that means breath and it means wind. and it means spirit. And if you put all those things together, and all you find all three of these through this passage. It's the, you know, the Spirit of God, the Ruach of God, that takes Ezekiel to this valley and speaks to him. And he says, you know, breathe, prophesy these bones that they will breathe, that they will Ruach. And he says, come from the four winds, the four Ruach, O Ruach. It's everywhere through this passage. The breath, the wind, the Spirit of God. And it kind of tells us something about God's Spirit. And I don't want to dwell on this, but I want to set it as a bit of a baseline. So we can see from, you know, from breath that God's Spirit is present. It's the power, the energy that keeps every living thing alive. And he's like the wind. You know, we've heard that many times. You can't see the Spirit, but you can feel it. And you can see the effects of the Spirit on people and on situations. You know, and he's God's Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. He has personality and power. You'd say that Holy Spirit is God's agent by whom he brings life and creative power. And the context of Ezekiel is that he is speaking to a dead and apostate Israel that walked away from God's commandments and were not living according to the things he said. You know, he gave them that list of blessings and cursings in Deuteronomy. He said, look, if you live this way, you will walk in blessing. But if you live that way, then you walk in the curse. And they walked away from God, and they were spiritually dead. You know, and they'd come under judgment, and other nations had come in and taken what was, you know, what should have been theirs. And so Israel is speaking to Israel and saying, that's not the end. That's the context of this passage. It's Israel, you're dead, you're apostate, but this is not the end. So the question for us this afternoon is, if God can do that for Israel, can he do that for us too? So when we think about the valley of dry bones, what are the dead things in our life? You know, these dry bones, it's people that had died a long time ago. You know, situations that are sort of long past being recovered. Situations that are impossible. I mean, when you look at, you know, dry bones, they're not even been buried properly. They haven't been dealt with properly. They're just dead, decomposed, completely rotted away, good for nothing. What are you going to do with those? We would look at them and say, what do you want me to do with that? There's nothing I can do with that. So what I want to talk about this afternoon is, how does God bring life into a dead situation? And how do we partner with the Spirit of God to bring life into impossible and dead situations? And the first thing that I want us to notice is that God just doesn't do this kind of thing sovereignly. He wants to partner with people. Listen to the very start of this passage. In chapter 3, when God is speaking to Ezekiel, and he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And, you know, he didn't know. He'd never seen resurrection before. God, you know. And then God says to Ezekiel, prophesy over these bones. So it wasn't like the Spirit of God came down and sovereignly made everyone alive. He speaks to the the prophet, to the person, the human that he's partnering with, and says, you prophesy to the bones. God wants to work with us. You know, in Genesis, you know, it says that we are made in his image. Now, that's not primarily an identity phrase. It's a job description. We're made to image God in the world. You know, he's made us to be kings and stewards of his creation. You know, Jesus called his apostles, his disciples, apostles, ambassadors. You know, we are ambassadors of the King, made to image him, to look like him, and to do his work, to partner with him in his work in the world. You know, and we live in this age that Ezekiel looked forward to. So if you go back one chapter, it's that one where he talks about, I will, you know, take out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you. I'll put my spirit in your heart. That's where we live. We have Holy Spirit in our hearts. So we don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to sort of come upon us like Ezekiel did in the Old Testament. He is here. It's like breathing. It's that close. That's where Holy Spirit is. And you get the sense that God is kind of waiting sometimes for us to step into that place. You know, and I think sometimes we just fall so easily and so quickly into, you know, what I would call pleading prayer. I found myself doing it the other day, you know, God, would you just step in and fix this? You know, why don't you come and turn this around? But that's not the way God wants to work with us. We had an example in Sochem a couple of weeks ago that I thought was quite interesting. Not an impossible situation, but just an example of partnering with the Holy Spirit. And we were, you know, in our group, we were just doing an exercise and praying that the Holy Spirit would come and fill people, and that they would experience his presence and, you know, get to know what is that like when Holy Spirit comes. And so we prayed, and then MJ and I could sort of see things happening in a couple of places, so we went and laid hands on a couple of people. And the question came up, why did you do that? Why did you go and lay hands? Like, why don't you let God just do what he's doing? And it was a really good question. And the answer is that we're partnering with what God is doing and blessing what God is doing, because that's how he tells us to work with him. You know, and interestingly, if you have a quick look, if you've got your Bibles there in Deuteronomy 34, there is a link in the Bible between laying on of hands and the transmission of Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know why that works or how. Like, this is God we're talking about, right? But somehow he's made it that when we lay hands, Holy Spirit is engaged. So if you look at Deuteronomy 34:9, it says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him." And if you want a New Testament example, you look in Acts 19. And this is when Paul first goes to the people of Ephesus, and he finds some Ephesian believers, and they've believed through the preaching of John the Baptist, but they hadn't, you know, they hadn't met Jesus, and you know, and Paul says to them, you know, do you know about the Holy Spirit? And they said, we didn't even know there was one. And if you look at verse 6, it says, when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Holy Spirit wants to use us. He wants us to step out and lay hands on people. And it somehow activates the work of the Spirit. So God wants to partner with us in bringing life into dead situations. And then we see this dynamic where you have speaking and Holy Spirit. And when you have speaking and the Spirit of God, something happens that releases God's creative power. We see this in Genesis 1 in the creation, where it starts with the Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the waters. And then God speaks and says, "Let there be light." And so you have the speaking of God and the working of the Holy Spirit that releases creation into being. And you get this sense in this passage in Ezekiel that the Holy Spirit is kind of hovering there, waiting for Ezekiel to speak, to prophesy. Now God says to him, "Prophesy to these bones." And as soon as he speaks, the Spirit comes and brings life to these bones, brings the sinews and the muscles and puts the bodies back together. So the action, it's never us that does the resurrecting. It's never us that brings the life into a situation. That's always God. But he does it in partnership with our words and our obedience to him. Notice as well that there's a process to this. Back in Ezekiel 37, verses 7 and 8, where it says that he prophesied and there was the rattling and the bones came together. And then there's sinews and then flesh and then skin. But there was no breath. And then he prophesies again and God brings breath and life to these bodies. You know, sometimes we want a quick fix. You know, we want the zap and have everything to be made right. You know, and sometimes when we have an impossible situation before us, we have that, you know, that kind of expectation that we'll pray and then everything will be suddenly set right. And sometimes that happens, and praise God when that does. It's amazing. But more often than not, there's a process. You know, God couldn't put, think about it this way, like if we've got our skeleton like this, what's God going to do if what happens if he's got a Spirit of God just goes into that? You have a walking skeleton. There's a process. God wants to put together the body so that there's something there to carry his Spirit. So when we're praying and partnering with God in these impossible situations, we need to have faith that that when we start prophesying and speaking the promises of God, that things are starting to happen. We don't always see it instantly fixed, but things are starting to move into place so that at the right time when God says to us, "Prophesy again," the Spirit will come and everything's in place. Now, this could look like, if you're praying for a person, it could look like other people coming around into their sphere, friends. It could look like, things coming into place job-wise or financially or anything like that, just things coming around so that life can be turned around. And God is a lot more creative than we give him credit for with these kind of things. You know, at the start, all God asks Ezekiel is, "Can these live?" You know, and the rhetorical answer is, of course, yes, because God's asking it. But they don't just live. Have a look at verse 10. "So I prophesied, and he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army." God's really creative. Ezekiel prophesied and said, live, and they became an army. He's able to do abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. So when we see impossible, God sees army. But I want to take a little detour now. And I'm going to get personal now, because not every spirit brings life. I had this thing happen to me yesterday morning. I was still in bed, lying in bed. And, you know, we had this situation in our family over the last few days. It was pretty difficult. And on Saturday morning, I was lying in bed and I had this like obsessive thought process running through my mind. You know those kind of obsessive thoughts you get where it just goes round and round and round and you can't shake it? And the really interesting thing about this one was that I was thinking about this situation and I was thinking about it in terms of Scripture. So I had this whole paradigm around what had been going on in our family that came out of the Scriptures, so it just seemed so right. But what I found in myself was that it left me with no hope. The way I was thinking about it was it seemed right, but it left me feeling hopeless and dead. And then all of a sudden, it went. It's the only way I can describe it. I was thinking this, and it was, you know, it'd been going round and round and round for, and then it was gone. And I tried to think about it again, and I couldn't. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that it wasn't me. It was another spirit, you know, trying to influence me in a certain direction. Now, the really interesting thing was that it came in the form of thinking about Scripture. You know, the Bible says that Satan will come as an angel of light. But the character of what it brought was death, hopelessness. The Spirit of God will always bring hope, life out of death. You know, and if I had prophesied out of what I was hearing on Saturday morning, it would have brought more death into my family, metaphorically speaking. And I realized that that's what I had done the day before. I had spoken something wrongly that seemed so right, and it didn't end very well. It's resolved, by the way, just so you know. So be careful who you're listening to. We want to partner with Holy Spirit, not any other spirit. So God wants to partner with us in bringing life. He wants us to use our words and listen to his Spirit to bring life. And the last thing I just want us to think about is that dry bones, dead things, are not impossible for God. You know, if we came to a valley of dry bones, what would our first thought be? Dead things. But God sees an army. He looks at those dry bones and sees an army. You know, it's very easy to identify and prophesy death. It's very easy to look at situations and even to look at people, and it often comes back to relationships with people, and and criticize, to identify faults. You know, once upon a time, I thought that was a gift that I had, was to see where things had gone wrong. It never worked out very well for me. Did it? But, you know, where we see death, where we see faults, God sees destiny. You know, he can see the dry bones and see, no, that's an army that I want to raise up. So what do you see? When you look at the impossible things in your life, do you see an army? Twelve years ago, or so, I would say that I was dry bones. And I want to tell you this story just so you can see how this can work. I've got a couple more stories and then we're going to finish up. So some of you know a bit of our story. And about 12 years ago, we had, Mel and I, pretty much walked away from the Lord. We didn't actually realize it. We just kind of drifted away. And we'd gotten to a place in our lives where we were completely lukewarm and dead, really. Nothing of the life of God was happening in our family, in our hearts. And God brought us out of that by prophetic preaching. We ended up in this church where the pastor was speaking with the Spirit of God, and that's what brought us back to life. Now, if you had looked at me then from the outside, you would have thought, how's he ever going to come back? You know, and don't we think that when we look at our family and our friends that have walked away from the Lord or that don't know the Lord yet? And we think, how could that ever be possible? And if you had looked at me, you would have said the same thing. But nothing is impossible for God. Where we see dry bones, he sees destiny. He sees an army. One of the best stories I've ever heard of this is from a lady called Marilyn. I heard this story secondhand. Mel heard it firsthand. And a few years back, she was fairly well known in the sort of prayer circles in Adelaide. And at a big conference, she told this story of how her son had you know, walked down the wrong path, and he'd gotten into drugs and was just not interested in the Lord at all. What do you do? What she did was that she would go into his bedroom when he wasn't there and she would prophesy. She would speak his destiny as a man of God in his bedroom. And didn't happen instantly, but he came back to the Lord and got totally cleaned up and got actually totally on fire for the Lord. That's the power of the prophetic word with the Spirit of God. Resurrection in impossible situations. And just notice in that story how she didn't speak directly to him. You know, because I think that sometimes it is right for us to, you know, prophesy directly to people. But quite often we just so easily switch that to criticism. And so I think it's really good for us to remember that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities and powers, the things that have influenced our lives and our loved ones' lives. The people we know. So when we prophesy in that kind of situation, we're not primarily speaking to the person yet. There is often a time for that. But we're speaking to the spiritual powers that have sway. And we're, you know, especially if it's a, you know, a parent-child relationship, there's an authority there. And it's important that we remember, you know, which areas we have authority in. And so we follow the leading of the Spirit in that. We don't go after every impossible situation. But we start in our prayer closet. We start in private. And we prophesy to the spiritual realm what God's destiny is for that situation. You know, and if God can do that for me, if he can do that for Marilyn, if he can do that for Israel, he can do that for you. If God can turn a valley of dry bones into an army, then the impossibility, the death that you see in your life or your loved ones' lives or people that you would love to know the Lord, it's not the end of the story. There is always hope with God. In fact, there is no such thing as no hope with God. Now, do you remember in Ephesians when Paul talked about the same power that raised Christ from the dead is now at work in you? So we saw in Ezekiel how it was the power of the Spirit through the prophetic word that raised these bones to life, that brought resurrection life into dry bones. And it's the resurrection life of Jesus that is now at work in us. So we have that mandate to speak and to prophesy and to release life because Jesus is in us and at work through us. And Holy Spirit is available. He's as close as breath. You know, breathe in, breathe out. You can't stop breathing. Holy Spirit is that available and that close. He's gentle and powerful like the wind, and he wants to partner with you. Nothing is impossible for him. And nothing is impossible for you when you work with him. So I'd like to invite worship team to come back up, and we're going to sing a song and just going to invite Holy Spirit to minister to us. You know, I used to wonder about that very vineyard prayer that we hear all the time, come Holy Spirit. And I found it very strange when I first heard it. You know, it sounds like we're commanding God. It's not. It's recognizing that Holy Spirit is here and active and wanting to partner with us. And he's waiting for us to speak the words. So let's all stand. Come, Holy Spirit.